Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, every day you're preparing us for what you have planned for us down the road. Sometimes we don't quite realize that. But Lord, help us to see that every event, every adventure, every journey that you set before us is set with a goal in mind. Something that you have prepared in advance for us to do. We ask that you would open our minds to understand that in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, so as I've mentioned, during these Lent midweek services, we've heard from a number of interesting biblical characters. The prophet Nathan, Isaac, and many others along the way. Well, tonight we're going to hear from probably the least known of all the ones that I've shared about, because her place in the Bible only takes about four verses. A woman whose name is Lydia. My name is Lydia. I'm from Thyatira, and I sell purple dye and garments. When I first met Paul, he howled with laughter when he heard that I was from Thyatira. Now, you probably have no idea why that's funny. You probably have no idea where Thyatira is. Well, it's in Asia Minor. That's a geography lesson for another day. But that's not where I met Paul. I met him in Philippi, where I live now, me, the children, and the servants. When Claudio died, Claudio. He was my owner and then my husband. Not as complicated as it sounds. Claudio was a merchant. He traveled around the empire selling purple dye. And it was his idea for us to settle here in Philippi. Even though the dye itself comes from places like Thyatira, which is in a region called Lydia. That's where Clidio obtained me. It's also where he gave me my freedom. And that's where my name Lydia comes from. Claudio loved and accepted me for who I was, even though I was a slave and I had absolutely nothing. I should have learned from that. I should have learned about love. And eventually I became his wife. We ran this business together. And then we moved to Philippi. I helped him through his illness. And he left me the entire business. Now, that was a while ago. Now, it's unusual, but it's not unheard of for a woman in my day to run a business like this. I had learned all about dyes and pigments from Claudio. But I was never fully accepted by the other merchants. You can probably guess why. A woman, an ex-slave at that, running a business and a household. But I got by. My name, Lydia, reminds me of home and of Claudio's care for me. And it was here in Philippi that I learned about this Hebrew religion. The so-called gods that I grew up with were every bit as awful as human beings. You would bribe them with your offerings and hope they would just leave you alone. The best thing was to stay out of their way and to hope that they would stay out of yours. I remember how little girls used to frighten each other. Oh, don't look too pretty, or Zeus is going to have his eye on you. Growing up, we heard of plagues. We heard of mountains that exploded when the Greek gods got angry. But these stories of the Hebrew God were so different. He cares about us humans like a parent. He took the Hebrews under his wing and stuck with them even when they were a royal pain. He disciplined them. He even delivered them from the war chariots of Egypt, the Exodus you call it, with them moaning, groaning, and complaining all the way. Now, if Zeus had been their god, he would have fried them to a crisp with a thunderbolt. But instead, the I Am God prepared them a land of milk and honey. He prepared his people to live in it. That is a God worth calling God. Well, anyway, about 20 of us in Philippi worship the Hebrew God. But because most of us were women, we did not have the number you needed for a synagogue. You needed 10 men in those days to have a synagogue. Miriam said that in such a case, it was traditional for us to meet to worship near a river or a creek. That was convenient for ritual washing and other ceremonies. Those Jews, they will wash anything you have not nailed down, and sometimes the things you have. We ritually washed ourselves, our hands, our pots, our vessels. I came to associate the sound of flowing water with the Jewish God and his promise of flowing milk and honey. Now, Claudio once told me something about a philosopher who said something about a river. Something about time flowing. It made me shiver. You see, his religion, my old religion of the Greek gods, just hurries on by you while you just stand there watching it. It doesn't need you. It doesn't have much to do with you at all. But this Hebrew God of flowing milk and honey, of living water, that's warm. That's sweet. It's alive. And it felt like he was preparing me for this day all along. Now, as I said, traditional Jews would meet in a place near water. So when Paul and his friends came to town and learned that there was not a synagogue, he came looking for a meeting place like where we were at. But he never expected to meet me, a Thyatiran. I was among Hebrews and living in Philippi, but no one would ever mistake me for a Jew or a Philippian. I look like a Thyatiran. And that's why he laughed. I thought it was all a big coincidence. He didn't, though. He told me he had been planning to go to Thyatira. We heard that in the book of Acts. But God sent him a vision to go somewhere else. And he laughed to find out he had been right all along. He meant to share his message with someone from Thyatira, just not in Thyatira. But I'll bet you he never expected it to be a woman. He had a message about a Jew named Jesus, which at first didn't mean anything to me. But before he told us his message, he listened to us. And that got my attention. Not many people listen to me. Maybe because I'm a woman or I'm different. You'd think it would make people ask, "So Lydia, how in the world did you get here?" But no one, especially the men, would ever ask. Some ignored me. Others would try to impress me by talking about themselves. Some assumed that I would feel like less of a foreigner if they didn't talk about the days when I was a slave. But not talking about my past made me feel even more out of place, less at home and accepted. I didn't let that bother me. With all my wealth, I had plenty of friends. They didn't cost me much, but no one ever got close. No one really knew who I was. No one ever listened to me. I had the house, the children, good food, and a business to keep me occupied. But Paul, he listened. It didn't make him uncomfortable. What a strange man he was. He had lots of friends who were slaves or who used to be slaves, but he also knew wealthy people and lots of city leaders. He did not act superior because of my slave background, and he was not threatened by my success. It was clear Paul felt like he didn't fit in at all either. He was very Jewish, but he was a Roman citizen. And now he was a follower of Jesus. All of it often made Paul feel like he was never really at home, and he didn't really belong. That's exactly how I feel, I remember saying to him. Sometimes I really wish that there was somewhere people didn't care where you came from, whether you were Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. And that's when we broke bread together and he told us about Jesus and the gospel. That's really good news. I'd been right all along about this Jewish God, but what he had done in the past was as nothing compared to the thing he had done now. The love of the Father expressed by his giving his Son for me. Thank you for forgiving me, Jesus. I lost who I was. I thought I could be an accepted person and love for what I had. But that was like any other business deal. Get as much as you can from someone else while giving as little as you personally can of your own. That's not acceptance. That's not love. It's only business. And who needs that? It doesn't really give anyone what they need. But now I know that in Jesus, God accepts me for who I am, not for what I do or make or sell, but who I am. He's given me everything freely. There's no more bargaining involved, and that frees me to respond with everything I have freely. I am accepted for who God made me to be. And what I do have becomes useful too. The church meets in my home now. I can even help feed and care for others because God has blessed me with wealth. Now, do they deserve that? Of course not. Thank God none of us gets what we deserve in the eyes of our Lord. No one deserves or earns what they get in Jesus' kingdom. Everything is a gift. Everything was created to be given away, not earned, owned, or hoarded. What you have is not spent like an entrance fee to heaven. What you have is a response. A thank you, Lord. I think I now understand how Paul felt when he met me. Remember how I told you he howled with laughter when he heard that I was from Thyatira? God was preparing Paul to speak to a Thyatiran. And he did, but not in a place he expected. God had prepared me to be with him, but I never expected that either. You see, God doesn't just give us his gifts. He prepares us to receive them, working and shaping us for an entire lifetime sometimes. And when we do receive it, he himself has given us the response. It's all his, even the thank you. So now I know who I am and what I am now. I'm not an ex-slave, semi-Jew woman who runs a business. I'm Lydia. I'm a follower of Jesus. You see, this story of Paul and Lydia makes it perfectly clear we are on an amazing adventure. We're on a whitewater rapid ride. It can be scary, but it can be fun. And God's river is taking us right where he wants us to go. God is in control. He's preparing you for what's coming, and you're actively engaged in it. Life is quite a ride. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of our Lord Jesus. Amen.